This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful. We welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, Understanding the Quran, in which we are looking at the interpretation of the 67th chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Mulk, the Dominion. And in this segment, we are completing the fifth verse, and following it, we will go on to the sixth. In the previous verse, the fifth verse, we are already looking at the phenomena which Allah described with regards to the heavens, and that there are some stars out there, what appear to us to be like stars, which we may call shooting stars, the meteors and the comets, etc., that some among them are used by Allah to drive away some elements from among the jinn, from the world of the jinn, to drive them away from the lower heavens, where they do gather pieces of information and take them back to individuals on the earth who are involved in fortune-telling and magic. And we said that this topic needed a little more detail because of the fact that it does have a great area of influence in our lives. We mentioned, as the Prophet ﷺ had said, that the jinn who carries this information brings along with each piece of information 100 lies, meaning that if we are to listen to the fortune tellers, predictions that they make, and in places like America, etc., at the beginning of every year, the New Year's Day, they will gather the predictions of all the famous fortune tellers and publish it in the newspapers. I mean, of what they say, much of it doesn't happen. It's nonsense. But you will find elements among them who will give very detailed predictions that come true. And of course, when such predictions come true, then those individual fortune tellers, you know, gain a lot of fame. People tend to be, you know, enamored by them, go to them, you know, trust their affairs over to them. And this is very dangerous. What we find is that the human mind operates in such a way that if I were to tell you 100 things and you left, if one of the things which I told you came true, what I told you of the 100 things before didn't stay in the forefront of your mind, so you would remember everything. It went into your subconscious. When one thing came true, it reinforced something from the subconscious. And that's what you tend to remember. That is it. You know, this, you now feel that this fortune teller really has this information. And you feel full confidence. And of course, you become, you know, a propagator, a media promoter for this individual. And what the fortune-telling practice does is that it creates deficiencies, or it creates, error. It undermines religion, the true religion of God. Because really, human beings don't know the future. Prophets were given revelation, which gave them accurate information about the future. What Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, informed us of the future events, you know, in the world. These we can trust because it's based on revelation. But for individuals making claims about the future, and we find them every year making claims, their claims are, as the Prophet ﷺ said, mostly lies with little pieces of truth. We can't trust in them. But people become caught up. You had an individual by the name of Edgar Cayce. They call him the sleeping prophet. He used to, in his sleep, he had these dreams and he would relate the dreams. And the dreams did contain some facts which came true. And people, you know, really started to believe in him and, you know, read his works and, you know, and became his followers. Became, you know, he created like another religion. And they have societies and people protecting his tapes and translating and, you know, promoting it, etc. It became a religion that people are following. And of course, it contains in it, you know, fallacies, misconceptions, you know, promoting ideas of previous lives, promoting the ideas that fundamentally human beings are God. You know, these kind of ideas, distorted ideas, which are, you know, against true religion. But because of the fact of the success, you know, in some of the predictions, people become drawn into everything else. Similarly, Nostradamus, another individual, you know, who people were very much enamored with, because in his time, in his own time, you know, many centuries back, he did make some very accurate predictions. People were attracted to it, and he made predictions about the future. And in our times, we can find some of his predictions about the rise of Hitler. He used the term Hessler instead, you know, very close, and describing certain events, etc., very similar. But much of what he spoke of, you know, is in language which is very symbolic. You could interpret it many, many different ways. And fact of the matter is, he claimed that the world was going to end this year. Earlier this year, there's a particular date he gave, you know, earlier this year, when the world was supposed to end, in 1999. But it didn't. We're still around. So much for Nostradamus' prediction. But for people, you know, this one error that he made, or this major blunder that he made, you know, it's quickly overshadowed by other predictions that he made, some of which came true, and things which are still yet to come. You know, so, you know, people will never give this up. They'll make some kind of explanation why it really wasn't 1999. It's really maybe, you know, 2999. So we'll put it, you know, further in the future. At any rate, this is a common phenomena amongst human beings. The danger, as I said, of fortune telling is very grave. Islam prohibits it. In the next verse, we find Allah addressing those who would seek this kind of information. Allah says there, and for those who disbelieve in their Lord, Allah, is the torment of hell, and worst indeed is that destination. Allah warns that those who involve themselves in fortune-telling, taking this information, you know, seeking it, going after it, that ultimately in it is disbelief and hellfire, and torment is the consequence. This is very important because Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had warned even those who would seek out fortune tellers out of curiosity to beware, stay away from them. He said, "The salah of whoever approaches a fortune teller and asks him about anything will not be accepted for 40 days and nights." Prayers are not accepted for 40 days and nights. For a person who just goes to a fortune teller out of curiosity, not really believing in them, but they just go and ask them, just to hear what they're going to say. This is a very serious consequence. When a person prays, there are two benefits that come from prayer. One, they remove from themselves the obligation of prayer. And two, they earn for themselves a reward depending on the level of concentration that they had in their prayers. What Allah is informing us here is that if one goes to a fortune teller, then that reward, that area of reward, is cancelled. There is no reward for their prayers. The obligation still remains. So one cannot just say, okay, I went to a fortune teller today, so I don't need to pray for the next 40 days. No, this is not the case. The obligation of prayer remains. When you pray, you remove that obligation. So the person still has to go ahead and pray. But know that there is no reward for it. It is a major sin. And the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, had said that whoever approaches a fortune teller and believes what he says has disbelieved in what was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, he has become a disbeliever. He's disbelieved in Islam. This is an act of disbelief. It is so serious. And what we should be aware of is that fortune tellers of the past, you know, they used to be in caves, like the oracle at Delphi. And, you know, people would come to them, would make pilgrimage to their areas and get that information this way. Later on, as cities grew, etc., you know, fortune tellers would have little spots in the city, or there may be gypsies traveling through with caravans from town to town, and you'd have people with their little crystal balls, etc., explaining things. In modern times, the fortune teller has found a new means of propagating his or her trade, and that is the newspaper and the magazines. And it is found in the columns of the astrological signs, the zodiac, signs of the zodiac. So when people want to know, you know, what are their signs, and they go looking up what is the fortune teller telling us about today, because that's what it is. The astrologer is a fortune teller. Astrology is a part of fortune telling. They will tell you today is a good day to do this and not to do that and these kind of things. Or they'll tell you about your personality. You know, they'll say, because you're born on this date, so and so, you have this kind of personality. And what are they telling you? That this personality doesn't get along with another personality. So they're telling you that if, for example, you want to marry somebody and they belong to this other sign, then your marriage will not succeed. They're telling you the future. They're telling you what's going to take place. And of course, that knowledge is only known to Allah. So we have to be very much aware that, you know, fortune telling in this form, the form of astrology, you know, is very much amongst us. And it is prohibited. As Muslims, we have to be very careful. So, I mean, if you open the newspaper and you come across, you just keep on. You just keep on. You don't look. I mean, you've seen it. Your eyes seen it, and you're not held accountable for that. But when you go, you know, go back. You're curious. You want to go and see. This is when you become accountable. You know, and in the same way, if one opens a newspaper and there's anything objectionable in it, you know, you are obliged to look away from it and carry on reading in other parts of the newspaper. So it is very important for us to be aware of the danger that exists with fortune telling, because it creates in the individual ultimately doubts about Allah. When Allah has told us that knowledge of the hour is left to Him alone, and He knows what the soul earns tomorrow, and no one knows it, which land they will die, no one knows it. But then these people are claiming about tomorrow. They're telling you what will happen tomorrow. Maybe they'll tell you where you're going to die, or, you know, whatever. This kind of information is challenging the information which Allah has provided to us. And as such, we have to stay away from it. You know, Muslims are enjoined to avoid any aspect of fortune telling. And furthermore, we should be aware that fortune tellers may operate with some information about the present, you know, as opposed to the future. Fortune teller, for example, those who are involved with the jinn, you may meet them for the first time and they're able to tell you what your name is, what your father's name is, you know, where you live, information about yourself, which, you know, your question, how could they have this information? Well, the point is that with each individual, there is a jinn. The one is the qareen. Everyone has one. An evil jinn that is there with us, whispering evil, you know, in a struggle with the angel that is assigned to each and every one of us, whispering good. The point is that when a person comes, the one dealing with the jinn, they were able to get the information from the qareen of that individual and feed it to the fortune teller. So they will be able to give you very accurate information about, you know, your day-to-day life. Maybe what you're planning to do tomorrow, they already know. They tell you because you made plans. The qareen knows it. It's able to feed that information across to the fortune teller. So in the present-day information, you know, immediate future information, they're usually much more accurate. But for things of the far distant future, you know, it's only, as I said, one truth mixed with hundreds of lies. But we should not allow these practices to trick us and to fool us into believing that these people really have powers. They don't. By working with the jinn, they have destroyed their own future. You know, this is This is kufr, disbelief. The jinn, the evil among the jinn, they don't mean any good for us in our world. Whatever influence they have on our world is evil. It is either mischievous or it's drawing people into different aspects of shirk, worshipping others besides Allah. So as Muslims, we should stay as far away as possible from fortune-telling. Even if it comes in the form of a computer program, like they have a program called Biorhythms, where supposedly in the human body there are different rhythms, different cycles that the body has, you know, functioning. And these, they are able to plot. They say, well, you give your name, your date of birth, and with that information, they're able to plot now your rhythms, biorhythms, into charts. And where the charts intersect, they will tell you this is a good day to do things that you plan to do. Where they're far apart, it's not a good day. So what are they doing? They're telling you also the future. And what is it based on? Is it really science? No, it's not. It's just a modern version of fortune telling. So we should be very much aware of those who are offering this false information, distorted and misguided information in this world, you know, under various headings. We should be very much aware of them and stay far away from them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us about the world of the jinn because of the fact that they do interfere and play havoc in our world. We need to know about them, not that we become so superstitious that everything that happens around us we're going to assign to the jinn. You know, you miss your pen today and then you're saying, oh, the jinn must have taken it. You know, every little thing that goes missing or you can't find it, you want to blame it on the jinn. And you become, you know, very frightful and scared about, no, we don't treat the world of the jinn in this manner. But at the same time, we don't go to the other extreme and say, oh, this is all folk stories, you know, it's just like the goblins and the, you know, the witches and, you know, this is all nonsense. No. If it were not serious and important, God would not have assigned a chapter of the Quran, which is known as Surah Al-Jinn. This is the chapter of the Quran. Allah addresses the world of the jinn because of the fact that they do have a detrimental influence in our life, by His permission. They're good among the jinn, as they are evil. It's not all jinns are evil. They're good among them and they're evil. But those that come into our world, interfere with our world, they are the evil amongst them. And do not be fooled into thinking that actually any human beings can control the jinn. This was a miracle given only to Prophet Sulaiman, Prophet Solomon. It was a miracle given to him as he was given knowledge of the language of the birds and the bees and things like this and ants. You know, he was also given power over the jinn. No other prophet was given that power. This was special to him. And no other human being is going to have that power. So a person who might tell you, well, listen, you know, I have this jinn who's a good jinn doing this for me, doing that for me. You have to realize that this is only a step by which the jinn may draw people into evil. Because those who are involved in evil will not necessarily expose the evil from the very beginning. They may come to the individual as intending good, wanting good, and this type of thing. And when they've gained their confidence, then they take them into evil. So we should be very much aware of the world of the jinn, protect ourselves from it, and avoid fortune-telling as much as possible. And Allah, in this verse, you know, by saying that the consequence is hell, is telling us really how serious this is. This whole affair is very, very serious. And we should not take it lightly. You know, it's very common for us to allow our children, for example, to play around with these things. You know, astrology, to keep their signs, whether wearing things on necklaces or rings or whatever, you know, and looking these things up. We need to take this very seriously. It is serious in the Quran. It is serious in the Sunnah. Our Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had even prescribed death for those caught practicing fortune-telling. So this Islam takes it very serious. It's a major crime against society. It's not something very small. So with that, dear viewers, I hope that you will reflect on this issue, the issue of fortune-telling, and protect yourselves from it in all the ways that you can. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.